Let's shift our focus south now to a war that's very much still in progress, the one against the drug cartels in Mexico. If you believe the Mexican government, the drug war is going great, thank you. The government has scored some important victories in recent years, taking down many top cartel leaders. So what's up with the surge in cartel-related violence lately? I asked Alejandro Hope to explain. He's the security and justice editor at El Daily Post in Mexico City.
Well, who's involved is hard to say because one of the drivers of violence in Mexico is the fact that investigations are very poor. Where are they? Well, they're concentrated in basically two regions of the country, the southwest of the country, Guerrero, Michoacán, Jalisco, and then the northeast, namely the state of Tamaulipas right on the border with Texas.
What's the link between this upsurge in violence and the victory that the Mexican government is saying it's achieved with the taking down of a lot of drug cartel leaders?
The so-called kingpin strategy, i.e. taking down major figures in organized crime, can lead to violence because it creates succession fights, because it leads to fragmentation of the gangs, and because it creates power vacuums that where other gangs can move in.
And what is the government doing to get at this recent upsurge and these types of crimes?
Right now, they're in full denial mode. The high-level officials are still bragging about the decline in the number of homicides compared to 2012. They haven't yet acknowledged that this upsurge is happening. So I don't think there's a strategy to deal with it.
What's left, then, of the drug war? I mean, if the kingpins have been taken down, is there far less drug-related violence?
Mexico is still a major drug bazaar, but increasingly that is no longer the driver of violence and disorder in the country. This transition in organized crime from drug smuggling organizations to smaller local predatory organizations, this transition has happened far more rapidly than the capacity of Mexican institutions to adapt to the new reality. Police forces are undertrained, underpaid, undermotivated, and still very vulnerable to corruption and intimidation. So, I mean, what is needed is a consistent effort in institutional reform from the local level up.
Now, Mexico had a major election in June. What influence is that having on response to this violence?
There was certainly a lot of politically motivated violence. There was about 20 candidates or so were killed during the process, mostly for local positions, mostly for people running for mayor and local councilmen and so on and so forth. In some cases, it is certainly connected to organized crime, i.e. organized crime has become far more aggressive in trying to control local government bodies. And some of the violence might have been just purely politically motivated.
Alejandro, this topic of violence in Mexico and murder rates, you know, from a distance, it sounds really horrific. What I'm curious about is, as a reporter on this subject, is this still a topic that is kind of apart from you in sort of a separate realm? Or is the murder rate and the violence in Mexico something that you actually deal with yourself in terms of where you go and where you don't go, or security issues for yourself?
I mean, I'm based in Mexico City. Mexico City tends to be relatively safe. The level of precaution depends on where you are in the country. And the country is very diverse. It depends also where you are in the social demographic scale. If you're a middle-class professional living in urban areas and are over 40, the chance of you getting killed are very low. If you're a young man without primary education living somewhere in Guerrero, the chances of you getting killed are quite significant, probably about 300 per 100,000. So the risks you run depends on where you are geographically and where you are socially.
Alejandro Hope is security and justice editor at El Daily Post in Mexico City. Thanks, Alejandro.
Thank you.